Pinchas, Tavshanayin Ches. Okay. So, believe it or not, we're actually going to look at first some psukim in Korach. It says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron le'emor. This is after the Maaseh with Korach. Right? This is after the Maaseh with Korach. I mean, it's not finished. You know, this is at the point just before Korach and his congregation get the 4+ whammy. Yes, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron le'emor. He badlu mitocha eida azos v'achaleh osam karoga. Separate yourself from this congregation, and I will destroy them in an instant. Vayiplu al pneihem, Moshe and Aaron fell upon their faces. Vayomru kel, I should have put a thing there. Kel elokei haruchos.
Who was their sin?
No, this Korach. This we're talking about. This is after Korach. In other words, he's telling them separate from the congregation of Korach, and I'm going to destroy them. So Moshe and Aaron both fall down like Tachnun. Vayiplu al pneihem. Vayomru kel elokei haruchos. God, merciful God, God of all the spirits, l'chol basar, of all flesh. Ha'ish echad yechtav av al kol eida tiktsof. Will one person sin, and upon the entire congregation will you become angry? In other words, they understood that at this point, the Jewish people were in deep danger. Right,
Moshe
and Aaron realized that because the Jewish people are in danger of being destroyed. Why? Perhaps because they weren't sufficiently. There were too much straddling the fence, right? When it came to this disagreement between Korach, right, and his congregation versus Moshe and Aaron, lahavdil bein right kol v'rikol bein haTorah laTameh. Yeah, They were straddling the fence too much.
And why did Moshe and Aaron fall on their face? Because they're concerned about the people.
Because they say, what do you call it? Hashem tells them separate from the congregation. There could be a double entendre over here, who the congregation is referring to, right? And Moshe and Aaron understood that. They understood that if they don't separate themselves, that if they don't pray the Davod Hashem right now, the Jewish people are in danger of being destroyed, right? And the phrase they use is Kel Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, the God of the spirits of all flesh. It's an unusual term. You don't find it all the time. Right? Rashi says on that, this is in Korach, right? I know we're in Pinchas. Yeah? Rashi says on that, Kel Elokei Haruchos, Yodea Machshavos, right? Hashem who knows the thoughts of man, Ein Midascha, the way that you judge people, right, the way you measure people is your meter, the way you judge people. Ein midascha kemidas basar adam is not like that of a man of flesh and blood. Melech basar adam shesarcha alav miktas medina, a king of flesh and blood, if part of a country, let's say he's ruling a number of countries, in one country, right, in one district, whatever it is, they've rebelled against him. In yodea michote. He doesn't know which person sent which person doesn't. He just says he sees the overall atmosphere is one of rebellion. But he doesn't know exactly what's in each person's heart. How's he supposed to know? Leficha kishu koes. Therefore, when he gets angry, they've rebelled against him, the province, the district has rebelled against him, he can't say, okay, we're going to check this person, check this person, check this person. He wipes them all out. He obliterates them. Nifra mikulam. He extracts retribution, payment, justice, punishment from all of them. Aval ata, but you, Rabbi Shlom, lefanecha gluyos kol machshavos v'yodea ata miachote. But Hashem, you know everyone's thoughts, and you know who has sinned. Okay. So now, I wrote it here in English. It would seem from the above in Parshas Korach that the expression Elokei haruchos, yeah, the God of all the spirits, the chobasar of all spirits that are of the flesh, implies separating the individual from the tzibur. In other words, the tzibur, the congregation, is a sinning congregation, right? They weren't sufficiently indignant of what Korach was doing to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though they themselves didn't really call. They weren't necessarily, they weren't joining Korach, but there's something here. It looks like they all fit together in one mold, and Moshe says, Hashem, don't treat them like that. Treat them as separate. Don't treat them as a congregation. Look at each individual. Don't punish them. You know who really deserves to be punished and who doesn't deserve to be punished.
They can't just cooperate.
Right. The deal. Okay, so that phrase, right, which Rashi explained for us, Kael Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar, you, Hashem, who know the spirit of every person of flesh and blood, of all flesh, you know each person individually. Don't treat them as a unit. Okay? Now, we also know that the position of the king requires of him to unify the people into one unit. A king, a leader, right? A leader needs to unify the people, not to make them, keep them all individual, right? A king is, he can't talk around every day, you know, and say, okay, you. He gives a command. This is the command to the kingdom.
That's also additional to what they pray?
No. This is really cool. This is another step. This is what he called the nature of kingship, of leadership in general, kingship in particular. As the Rambam says, right, in Sefer Mitzvahs, this is the mitzvah of Minui Melech, of appointing king, right? He says, Hu shitzivanu limnos aleinu melech mi Yisrael. We are commanded to appoint a melech from within our midst, mi Yisrael. Yikabet kolu moseinu v'yanigenu. He should gather together all of our nation and lead us. Gather together and lead us. So we see that the nature of leadership, right? The nature of leadership is to transform all the individuals into one unit, gather them together, and then lead them. That's what a melech is supposed to do. Nachon? I understand at first glance this appears like the two ideas are not related, but we'll see in just a moment.
I'm sure.
Okay?
We don't have a doubt.
Now in our parsha though, our parsha, not a Pinchas, right? Midrash of Zion. Vayedaber Moshe Hashem Lemor. Yifkod Hashem Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar. Bang, comes back to the same phrase. Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, the God of all the spirits within all flesh, etc. Ish al Eidad. Moshe Rabbeinu has been told that he's not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. His request, his first request, he's very concerned.
He's told that in Pinchas.
Yeah, he's told already here. Yeah, right. He's told already here that he's going to have to go up. Right. I mean, is he really cool? Whether he actually went up already, could be he actually even went up already, right? In which case, all of Sefer Dvarim transpires, you know, and like, you know, etc. But the fact is really cool. He's told that he's not going to enter Israel. He's going to leave this world on Har HaAvarim, Har Nevo, etc., etc., etc. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, look at the pasuk, look at the pasuk Tesvav first, the pasuk before. Vaydaber Moshe el Hashem Lemor. There is no other pasuk I got in the Chumash. Right? Vaydaber Moshe el Hashem Lemor. You didn't read it right. Vaydaber Moshe el Hashem Lemor. Lemor. And the whole Chumash is Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Now Lemor, that you should say, what do you call it? In other words, the Lemor. Right, like the Orach Chaim, What's the Lemor for? The Lemor is that you now go and say to the Jewish people, Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Right? In other words, I'm telling you, you should continue saying. There's going to be a further speech here. You're going to say it over to the Jewish people. Or I give you permission to say it to the Jewish people. Or I command you to say it to the Jewish people. So that's what the Lemor is. Vaydaber and Lemor. But here it's Vaydaber Moshe El Hashem Lemor. And Moshe says it's Hashem. What's the Lemor for? What's the Lemor for? Who's Hashem going to say it over to? Yeah? There's no one else to say it over to.
He wants Hashem to say it over to the people.
No, Hashem is not going to say it to the people. This is a conversation between Moshe and Hashem, right? He's not going to say it to the other people. It's all between them. So what's the Lemor? So Rashi says, right? Rashi says, the Lemor, I didn't bring the Rashi for whatever reason, I don't remember. Rashi says is because the Lemor is because he was so concerned about this idea of appointing a new leader, right? He said, you got to tell me, are you going to appoint a leader? I got to know right now. I have to know right now. Yeah, what do you call it? I'm sorry, I didn't put the Rashi on the dot. Right? The Rashi says on this Pasuk Tezvav, it says, Vaydaber Moshe Hashem, Lhodiya Shvachim Shal Tzadikim, right? Look, a Lemor, Omar lo, Hashiveni, answer me, imatam emane lehem parnas im lav. Answer me if you will appoint for them a parnas, a what he called a leader or not. If you're so concerned for the Jewish people. So concerned for the Jewish people. Okay? So the lemur is, you mean, I'm making this request of you, and tell me, are you going to do it or not? It's interesting. Interesting. But in any event, so we call, yeah, and what's my request? Yifkod Hashem Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar Ish Aleidah. Appoint a person who, what do you call, Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. He talks about Hashem, right? He's being Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. Appoint a man on the Eidah. Says Rashi, Elokei Ruchos. Lama Ne'amar, what does it say there? Amalafonav, right? Rashi here in the Daf. Amalafonav, Ribur Shalom, Galui V'yadu Alafonav, Daito Shalkol Echad Ve'echad. Ve'inim Domim Zelazeh. You know the Das, you know the consciousness, you know the, what do you call it, the state of mind of every individual. Menei Aleim, appoint upon the Manig, she is Sovil Kol Echad
Ve'echad.
Moshe saying to Hashem, right? Right, menei aleim appoint them upon them manhig, a leader. She is sovil kol echa ve'echa l'fi daito. Bimemane appoint upon them a person who can bear each person according to who he is.
Some believe Rabbi Krumer.
Funny. Okay,
how's that? Is that B-E-A-R spelling bear?
What?
How do you spell bear?
B-E-A-R? Yeah, B-E-A-R. It's the same spelling. Yeah? Asher yetzei lifnehem, who go back to the psukim here, Asher yetzei lifnehem, who walk before them, Asher yelvo lifnehem, and will take them out, he'll stand in front of them when he goes, takes them out to war, bring them back, Asher yotzeim, Asher yviyem, lo siya adas, Hashem, keton, Asher ein lahem roya. They shouldn't be like a flock of sheep that has no shepherd. Vayomer Hashem l'Moshe, and Hashem answers Moshe, Kach l'chaz Yoshua benun ish asher ruach bo. Once again, the idea of ruach, one person has the spirit in him, v'samach le'ez yodcha love, and you, what do you call, give him smicha, put your, transfer power to him, da da da, etc., all those 9 yards.
Moshe thought that Hashem wouldn't do this, he had a request.
Zeshela Tova, right? That is what he called. That obviously is an issue. It could be. They talk about it. It could be that. Truth is, I think what we'll discuss afterwards, I think, might actually address that. In other words, you know Hashem is going to do, I mean, I'm not saying I've seen that's the way they answer it. I've seen it answered different ways, but you know Hashem is going to, let's say, he's going to bring Parnassus into the world, right? There are billions of people in the world. It's true, there is starvation in places, right? But in general, everybody is what you call it, is being fed. Like we say in benching, Hazan, Esolom, Kulo, B'tuvo, B'chein, V'chesed, Rachamim, yeah? And yet we pray for Parnassa. Why are we praying for Parnassa? Right? The Aborigines have Parnassa, right? The Hottentots have Parnassa. The Hindus, right? The Papuans. We got Parnassa, so why are we dominating for Parnassa? Let's just, you know, sit back in a hammock, you know, with our mint julep, and what do you call it? It'll come like it comes for everybody else, right? The ones that do pray, the ones that don't pray, the ones that pray to Avodah Zarah even. Right? But you have to pray. It's a dominant. And I think we're going to discuss that. So it could be that what do you call it, your question, maybe Dafka over here, it seems like, of course, what do you have to tell Hashem what to do? Maybe what you need, right, is one thing. But what to do? but to do. But prayer is an important thing, dominant important thing, and we'll see, Mitzvah Shem, Blinera. But in any event, so go back to the, what do you call, go back to the original, well, the original thing we wanted to point out as a question is this idea of Kel Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar, the concept of Hashem knowing every individual, right? And in Parshas Korach, that term was used to, as it were, don't look at them as a community. Look at them as individuals, right? And now when Moshe Rabbeinu wants, what do you call it, that Hashem should choose a leader to guide the people after he's no longer the leader, he uses the same terminology, kel ruchos l'chol basar, individuals. But a king can't treat everybody like an individual. The job of the king, like you saw in the Sefer Mitzvahs, is to make the Am into one, to be ma'ache the Am, to make him into one unit, and to lead them. Elamai, right? What do we see from here? How can he unify the people into a unit if his perception of each person is that of an individual? We therefore see that the creation of a true tzibur is accomplished if each person perceives that he's appreciated as an individual. What are their teretzes, right? In other words, it's true you can't go around in terms of guiding people, doing manig the people. Money to people. You can't go, okay, you go do this. You got to tell the people, bang, you got to do this. You have to do this. But in order to create a whole unit, to really be ma'ached all the individuals into one unit, every individual has to perceive that he's appreciated as an individual and not like a cinder block. Machon? Because then you want to contribute to this unit called the Jewish people. Why? Because I'm an individual. But Lamaisa, our job is to interlink with one another, just like strands of DNA. Yeah, interlink with one another, all performing an unbelievable job. But each one has got to realize that I'm unique. And I'm appreciated for who I am, new, unique. But I'm contributing my unique job, right, to join together with that person who's also got a unique job, and that person's got a unique job, and that person's got a unique job. So if I realize that I'm valued, and that every other person as well is valued, so then we become really a unit. But if we don't have that, then really all if I see myself as just as a cinder block, right, so then when it gets too difficult, right, I'm anyway. I'm being treated like a piece of garbage. So what do you call it? I should contribute. So when you have the opportunity, just throw off the yoke. Okay. Okay. So I'm just saying that what we saw from Korach, right, in that parsha over there, the term Kel Elokeha Ruchos L'chol Basar, it was indicative of focusing on individuality, separating from that tzibur, there being an evil tzibur. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wants to bring a new leader to take his place, i.e. Yehoshua, he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the same terminology, Kel Elokei L'chos L'chol Basar, a person who looks at every individual, right? Right? That's what, and as Hashem gives him, he gives him Yehoshua, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, right? He's a person who has this Ruach, he has this Ruach inside of him. Right, Choritz reference to the same koach. We said, how can it be if the job of a melech is to make a tzibur? So why are we having focus on the individual? Elamai, the idea is that a true tzibur, right, is built upon the recognition of uniqueness and the importance of every individual, and from that comes the koach tzibur, which is already a step higher. Okay, now in Perek Chaf Ches. Right? This is what we had ready, which is Perek Chav Zayin. And Perek Chav Ches is what he called is from Chamishi. And there it all talks about the Korbanos. Talks about the Korbanos. The Musafim, right? The special Korbanos that are given, right? From every day, or not just, I shouldn't say Musafim, Korban Tamid, the daily sacrifice, the Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, right, we'd call it all the Yomim Tovim, etc. So that's what's talked about in Perek Chof Ches. Says Vaydaber Shel Moshe Leimar Tzavis Bnei Yisrael Vamarta Leimas Korbani Lachmi LeYishai Reach Nichochi Tishmeru LaHakriv Li B'Moado. This is the mitzvah of the Korban Tamid, the daily sacrifice, right? Tamid shel Shachar, Tamid shel Ben Arbaim, day in, day out, day in, day out, no stop, right? Every day of the week, including Shabbos, including Yom Kippur, including every day, what do you call it? There has to be a Korban in the morning, Korban, what do you call it, in the after, what do you call it, late in the afternoon before sunset, yeah, of Mincha. So Rashi says, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, on this first thing, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, ma'amur l'malam. What does it say in the Chumash before this? Yifkod Hashem elokei ruchos l'chol basar. Moshe Rabbeinu is mispal to Rabbonu Shalom that he should appoint someone to, what do you call it, to guide the Jewish people after he leaves his leadership post. And now, right after that's finished, now we begin the discussion of the Korbanos. The first Korban being the Korban Tamid. Says Rashi, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shata Mitzaveni Al Bonai. You know, you're telling me how I should, what do you call it, how I should make sure they have the proper leadership, right? The proper leadership after you leave. And you asked of me, you're mispal, I should appoint someone who will be able to understand every individual, etc., etc., etc. You know what, but maybe something first yet that has to be done. Ad Shata Mitzaveni Al Bonai. Before you give me instructions, as it were, as to what to do with my children, Tzaveis Bonai Alai. Maybe you should address my children and tell them how they should relate to me. Says Rashi, Mashal Abas Melech, right? What's it comparable to? To a queen. Shaisa Nifteris Mina Olam. She's taking leave of the world.
Who's a queen?
The queen over here is what he called is going to be Moshe. Right? He's Kaviyachal, he's Kaviyachal, right, married to the king, the Bon Shalom. Right? Because he is his helpmate here down on the earth. Right? Mashal Abbas Mel Shaisin if Teres Menolam. She's passing on. Vahaisim if Akedis Labaila. And she's giving instructions to her husband, Al Baneha. What to do with the children. Kedisim Sifrei, like it says in the Sifrei. And Hashem in turn says, before you tell me how to deal with the children, first you should tell the children what the relationship should be with me. And that's the idea of the Korbanos. The Korbanos.
Really?
Right? Right? Continues, right? Continues the, what do you call it, in the discussion of the Korbanos, of the Korban Tamid. How's it referred to? Olas Tamid, right? We say this, what do you call it? If you say Korbanos, you say this every day, yeah? Tavis Melo Bamadis, Korbanilach, Mini Shai, Rech, Nichochit, Shmokiva Mordo, right? Right? So, anyways, what does it say? It says, with regard to the Korban Tamid, it says, Olas Tamid, a never stopping Ola Korban, right? Once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
Perpetual,
thank you very much. Right, we can always count on W for the right word, right, and then some. Ola Stamid Hasuya Bahar Sinai, that was as done, Hasuya that was done, Bahar Sinai at Har Sinai, L'Reach Nichoach Ishel Hashem, right? It should be L'Reach Nichoach Ishel Hashem.
Who says that this is like instructions the queen giving over to the king? This is what
that's what Chazal say. Chazal say, yeah, Rashi's quoting Chazal, that the juxtapositioning of the parsha of the korbanos is right in juxtapositioning of that to Moshe Rabbeinu's request that Hashem appoint right a specific type of leader after he leaves his position. Leading the Jewish people is comparable to the queen who is passing on. She says to the king, this is how you should take care of the children, right? The king says, first tell your children how they should relate to me. And the way they're relating here, we're talking about going through the korbanos.
Okay, of course, okay. You tell us how.
What? First, you got to tell what. First, you're going to say, establish the relationship, right? And then what do you call it? And then we got to tell me, okay, so now that they've got the relationship clear, so now you tell me how to deal with them. Okay? Rashi says, Asuyo Bahar Sinai, Ke Oson Shinasu Bimea Miluim. Okay, that's the first, what do you call, Perish and Rashi. Dover Acher. Ha'asuya Bahar Sinai. In other words, why is the Korban Tamid being identified as having been done at Har Sinai? It's true, but you know, why do you have to point it out that like it was done at Sinai? Asuya Bahar Sinai. Hikish Olas Tamid, La Olas Har Sinai. There is, what do you call it, there is a Hekesh between, Olas, the Olas Tamid, right? Between the korban that we bring every day and the ola that was brought at Har Sinai.
So it only brought once then. They didn't continue with after the Sinai.
No, it could be they did continue. Here in this parsha, we call it, certainly is telling you what they're going to do. In Eretz Israel. But okay, but it could be
the korban tamid in the desert.
So that what he called, the chora they did. Yeah? Right? Hikish olas tamid l'olas har Sinai, osu shiniskar v'lifnei matan Torah.
What's the point of it telling us? Okay, the korban tamid was offered at Sinai. So what? Wouldn't that what? What is it supposed to tell us?
You're always in the middle of the record of the question. You're always in the middle of the question, right. And you recall and you say, why isn't the answer there? Because we haven't finished the question. Oh. Right? So you have to finish the reading of Rashi. Oh. Right? So when Rashi says, Davarach Rasuyi Bahar Sinai,
hate Rashi asked the question.
Rashi is Kiel asking the question. What is the connection? Hikish Olas Tamid, La Olas Har Sinai. The Torah juxtaposes the concept of Olas, Tamid, right, here in Parshas Pinchas, to the Ola of Sinai. An Ola was brought at Har Sinai. We'll look at the Pesukim in a scooch. Shiniskar v'lefnei Matan Torah was brought before Matan Torah. Shekosuv bo v'yosem ba'agonos melamed sh'teuna kli. Right? It says, what does it say over there in Sefer Shvos? Perkov Dalet. This is right. This is in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, and it goes back to the description of Matan Torah. So there, in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says Vayikach Moshe. You know, it says in Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Hey, it says Vayishlach. As Nare B'nai Yisrael, Vayalu Olos, they offered completely burned sacrifices. Vayizbechu Zvachim, and they offered Shlamim, right, Olos and Shlamim, Lashem Parim. They brought these Parim, is what he called as Olos and Shlamim. Vayikach Moshe, and Moshe took Chatzi Adam, he took half of the Dam, Vayasim Ba'agonos, and he put them in round basins. The chatzi adam zarak al mizbeach. Half of that dam, he sprinkled upon the mizbeach. Vaykach sefer bris vaykrab ozne ha'am vayomer kol asher diber Hashem nasa v'nishma.
What was in the round basins?
The blood from the korbanos, right? And then he took the sefer bris, which we'll assume was all of the Torah up until Maimed Har Sinai, and he read that before the Jewish people. Okay, and then the people replied, "Kol Hashem Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma." This is where it says Naaseh V'Nishma. Yisro doesn't say Naaseh V'Nishma. Yisro says Naaseh. Here it says Naaseh V'Nishma. Vayikach Moshe Adam, Vayizro Kol Am. Right, so he took the dam, and it was half the dam was sprinkled on the mizbeach. The other half, which is put into these round basins, right, was then sprinkled upon the people. Vayomer inei dam habris. This is the blood of the covenant. Asher karat Hashem imachem al kol advarim ha'ele. This is the blood of the covenant that Hashem, as we record, has made with you on all of that which we have said here. Fine. Stop. So when it says over here in Parshas Pinchas, when it says here in Parshas Pinchas, that's good. It says here in Parshas Pinchas, that the Korban Tamid, right, the Korban Tamid should be like the Korban of Sinai, like the Ola of Sinai, right? It says in Perek Chavches Pasuk Vav here in Pinchas, Olas Tamid Hasuya Bahar Sinai. This is Olas Tamid Hasuya Bahar Sinai. This is done in Sinai. Sinai was the Korban, a special Korban Ola, right? Special Korban Ola. And over here we're talking about the Korban Tamid that's going to be every day. Why are we linking the two one another? Yeah? Why are we linking to the other? So Rashi is what? To teach us that the Korban, right? The Korban Tamid needs a Kli. It's a funny thing. Right? I mean, every Korban needs a Kli. Korban Tamid needs a Kli. Malamed Shetauna Kli. The Korban Tamid needs a Kli. Interesting. Okay.
Correct blood.
Choro, yeah. Because it said over there, what was the kli in the case of the Har Sinai? The agonos. Well, the agonos were used to collect both the blood that was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, right? And the blood that was sprinkled upon the Jewish people. That's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, right? But it mentions over there, Mefurish, a kli to receive it. A kli to receive it. Right? We know that's where you sprinkle the blood. You get it, what do you call it? You shech the behema, you catch it in kli, and then what do you call it? And then you sprinkle. What do you call it? You take some, you daub on top of the thing, or you pour, you're a shofech, you pour some, right? But it always is in a kli. But anyway, the idea of the olas tamid, you need a kli, all the kobonas, yeah, etc., is learned from, right, the juxtapositioning of, right, of korban tamid to the ola of Har Sinai. The Ola of Har Sinai had the Agonos, a Kli. That teaches us the Ola of Tamid needs a Kli. Fine. Says Sfas Emes. Okay? Says Sfas Emes.
You still haven't answered the question yet.
Which question?
What's the relationship between...
Rashi told us to tell us that you need a Kli. The Korban Tamid needs a Kli.
What's the instructions that the queen is telling the king...
The queen telling the king, the queen told the king, this is how you should deal with my children. Right? No. That's Representative Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Hashem, please appoint a new leader who will know every individual. Right? Who will relate to every individual. Hashem in turn says to Moshe, before you tell me how I should deal with the children, right, to deal, give them, you know, individual treatment, first, you should command the children, right, how to relate to me. That's the idea of the Korbanos. The Korbanos is record are a statement of that we are avodim to Hashem, and we do the avoda of Hashem, and we show that everything belongs to Hashem by placing everything in the Korbanos. Right, the animals kilu are taking our place. Right? Hashem doesn't want us to stand into the fires. He says, take all of the world, the animal kingdom, right, through the korbanos themselves, the vegetable kingdom through the menachos, right, and the nesachim, the mineral kingdom through salt, right, that's on every korban, and the water that was brought, yeah, on during Nisuch HaMayim and Sukkos, show that you are your servants to Hashem. Everything goes up on the things. In other words, establish the right relationship of the child vis-a-vis the father as the king. Okay? Rashi in turn, though, told us another din over here. He told us that why does the Torah point out that the Korban Tamid should be like the Korban, the Ola that was brought at Sinai. So Rashi says, to teach us that the Korban Tamid needs a Kli, just like in the Ola of Har Sinai. The dam was captured, was caught inside these agonos, these basins, these round basins.
Okay, why did he pick the Korban? So you let him pick any of the hooking? Could have been just as well sufficient.
Because the korbanos, the essence of korbanos, right, is avoda, right? Avoda establishes the framework of that we are avodim. That korbanos is called avoda. Tefillah is called avoda, right? It is the act, par excellence, that demonstrates that we are avodim. The three things the world stand on is Torah, right? Torah, Avoda is really called the Korbanos and Tefillah and Gunas Chasadim, right? So the classical example of showing that Rav Vadim is Avoda, that's the Korbanos and again Tefillah. And we have the opportunity to do the Korbanos, obviously that's optimal. So this is Fasemis. Okay? We have to read this Fasemis. Every word he says is a pearl. He says, Beparshas HaTmidim, Bedroshas Chazal, Achin to Mitzaveni al Bonai Tzavei Bonai Alai. Right? He brings the Rashi. Hashem says, before you tell me, you know, before you tell me what I should do vis-a-vis my children, right? First, don't tell my children how they should relate to me. Fine. The Kvar Kasavti, Perish, Adoni Mori Vizkenizal, the Pasuk, Lachmi, the Shai, the Reach Nichuchi, Tishmru, right? Akriv Liba Muadon. Right? I already taught you, says the Sfasemis, what my grandfather, the Chidush Arim, said. What
instructions? The king says, I tell the children this is how they have to relate to me.
Okay. That's a good bonus.
That's instructions on how to find out what to do. That
yeah, but it's not what the king has to do for them. It's what they do for towards the king. Moshe Rabbeinu said, appoint a leader, this is what you should do for them, Hashem, right? Hashem says, before you tell me what I should do for them, first you should explain to them what they should do towards me. Korbanos.
But
Okay, that's what you're saying. Okay, go ahead. Okay. So what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk said, Israel, command the Jews to be able to say to them, as Korbani, Lachmi, Li'ishai, right? My Korban, my Lechem, as it were, my bread, Li'ishai, right? To the fires, right? To put upon my Mizbech, Reach Nichochi, a pleasant, regal fragrance, it creates, why? Because my will has been done. Tishmeru lakriv limo'ado. Guard it, make sure to sacrifice this. Bring close to me, lakriv limo'ado, at its appointed time. Said the Chidush Arim, listen to what he says. Tishmeru lakriv limo'ado. He says as follows. He says, Tishmeru ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosen shefa parnosa v'chayim b'chol yom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds the entire world every day. Hazan es olam kulo betuvo, etc. Right? We talked about this before. Hashem feeds the entire world. Aval aratzon hu. But Hashem's will is shebnei Yisrael yalu nachas ruach lefonav. Uveshebekoach ze yered hashefa leolam. Va'ati bitofsefes meruba ala ikar. Vezesh omer lachmi liyishai tishmeru shiye aidei reach nichoach ad kan dvorav. Right? In other words, Hashem, what do you call it? We don't change Hashem's plan. You hear this? Hashem is feeding the entire world. And He's going to feed the entire world. Right? But He gives us an opportunity through giving us mitzvahs, or in this case over here, what do you call it? The avoda. That when it comes down to the world, it should come down in our merit.
The Jewish people's merit?
And the Jewish people's merit. By doing His will, which that's nachas ruach for Him, because His will is to elevate man. And the only way that man is going to be elevated is when man stands, yeah, in a state of free will before his Creator.
We didn't tell the rest of the world.
And He chooses, that's for later. Don't, what do you call it? Let's not get excited about it. Later on, after we get our act together, we're going to do for the entire world. Right? We'll do for the entire world. After we get to the end of the line. But first we've got to make sure that we're doing things right. We said not to initial, the rest of the world said we can't do it. We're not going to do it. We can't live life like that. Achon? Right? He came to Bnei Esav, he came to Bnei Ishmael, came to Ammon, Moab, whatever. Right? They all said they can't do it for whatever reason. This doesn't fit into our philosophy of life. We can't live like this. Jewish people said not to Ishmael. We'll do it, and then we'll appreciate it. Then we'll taste it. Then we'll experience the sweetness of the taste. Right? Like we said from the Sfasemis before, that what he called the rest of the world says, I'll only do what I'm going to call what I perceive is tastes good. Right? So that's what the world does. Power is good. Pleasure is good. Whatever, that's what we'll do. The Jewish people said, not to the Nishma, we're willing, right? We're willing to do first, and through doing that, then we'll taste. Then we'll taste. No one else is willing to do that. But in any event, right? The will of Hashem is that man should be elevated, right? How does he elevate himself? He elevates himself by, when he stands at the crossroads of free will, shall I or shan't I? What should I do? Should I do the will of Hashem? Should I serve Hashem or should I not serve Hashem? If he chooses to serve Hashem, that's nachas ruach, that's reach nichoach. That's a sweet fragrance. The fragrance of the Jewish people's spiritual commitment, right? And then what happens is the very same thing that he's going to bring down, he brings down in our merit. It's packaged now as being in the merit of the Jewish people. Not only that, but also when we bring it down through that, it brings in additional bracha. Again, this is all part of Hashem's plan. No one changes Hashem's plan. The question is how is that plan, as it makes its appearance in the world, how is it packaged? How does it reveal itself?
That was the purpose of the Kabbonis.
So the Kabbonis now. So now when we bring the Kabbonis, when we daven, we asked before, why in the world should I daven? Right? Every shmendrik in the world, what do you call the guys that everybody call who are hilarious 1,000 times over. They've got their Lexus, right? They've got their 4 estates. Lexus is what they give to what do you call probably the butler to drive, right? They're driving a golden Bugatti, if they still have them, right? Etc. Yeah. And what do you call it? They say, why should I daven? He's feeding him. What about me? It's true. Hashem is feeding the entire world. He's feeding the entire world. He gives constant existence to the entire world. But when we daven, then his feeding the world becomes ascribed to us.
How come it's the world still going? The temple was destroyed without being recorded.
So we have tefillah. We have tefillah. If we didn't have tefillah, we have nothing. Right? So he says the Chiddush HaRim, he says, Tishmeru, what you have to be careful with, you have to guard. It's not just to do it, but that through doing it, right, you bring the Shefa into the world packaged under, this was brought into the world through Avoda, rather than being brought into the world, what we refer to as Olam Kiminhago Noheg. The world, goes, Hashem, it's a juggernaut. Hashem creates the world. He's moving the world. The world is fed. He's got a plan in mind. It's all happening, whatever he wants. All we have, right, is our bechira. To attach our positive will to what's going to happen anyway. How that works, that's not that good. That really won't have that answer, right? We don't want to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. I understand. But what do you call it? But the constant, of feeding of the world should be through our avoda. Right? And that's what he's saying, Tishmeru, guard to make sure that what he called that Hashem's Ratzon is done and that his feeding of the world, his sustaining the world in all of its aspects should be attributed to his Ratzon being done, not because, what he called, because he's doing it, because that's the way, that's the juggernaut that he's created called existence, called reality. V'heim heim divri chazal sh'omru, b'chofov kilom chastos, right? Right, shechavav doros kodem shenitna Torah. Right, we say halal hagodol. We say on Shabbos in Pesukim Yidim the 26 kilom chastos. Why the 26 kilom chastos? Why? Because Hashem sustained the world in Chesed for 26 generations before the Torah is given. The Kabbalah of the Torah nitan shebnei Yisrael b'maaseim yimshuchu.
Say what? Hashem's going to be Chesed. Why do we need Brira for?
Brira.
Free choice. Do the right
Bechira.
Thing. Bechira.
Right.
What do we need it for? If Hashem's going to continue to do chesed for us.
Again, if what do you call it, if you didn't exercise your bechira properly, so there's really no point to the world. Yeah, he said, but there's no point to the world. Right? If Hashem just gives you a freebie, if Hashem gives us a freebie, right? So he didn't have to bring us down here. A freebie we had before we came down to this earth into a body. Right? right? The free we had, he created souls. Souls are basking in the spiritual Riviera upstairs, right? When Hashem tells them, okay, I want you to go into this cell, when the night, that, what do you call it, the night that we were conceived, right? So the soul stands there before Hashem, and I don't want to leave you. I didn't make this up. This is in the Medrash Tanchumen, Vayakel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Medrash Tanchumen says this. The soul says, I don't want to leave you. I'm happy here. I'm close to you. I don't want to leave. Hashem said, I'm telling you, the world I'm bringing you to will be better for you than the world that you're in now. Why? Because through, right, traveling the gauntlet called Olam Hazeh, with all of its ups and downs, yeah, difficult moments physically, difficult moments emotionally, difficult moments even in observance, right? But in the end, because we struggled and we, as it were, gave birth to ourselves, rather than just getting a freebie, we'll be better off. So that's why we need Bechira. And that's why it's not good, right? It's not the ultimate good to the beneficiary of unadulterated tincture of chesed.
So you think Hashem will destroy the world if we stop davening?
Okay, let's not get lost in roundabouts. If we stop davening, you probably keep on going. If there's no Torah, so then there's a discussion amongst what you call. Nefesh HaChaim says if there's no Torah, the world will disappear. Whether everybody agrees to that is a separate issue. Okay, but let's stay on the course. Ube Kabbalah Satorah, I know, everybody call it. Okay, you just stay calm here, chew on my yarmulke. Ube Kabbalah Satorah. Nitan, Shibani Yisrael, this is a very fundamental, fundamental, they're all fundamental, but this is really fundamental. Ube Kabbalah Satorah, Nitan Shibani Yisrael, Bemaaseim Yimshichwa Shefa Mishamayim. It's all coming anyway. The question is, it's all coming anyway, the question is, whose name is going to be, what do you call it, on the contract, whose name is going to appear?
But there is a name.
Again, because that's giving you a schus, that we call, when you, through your avoda, you sustain the world, right? So when you get your report card, right, at the end of 120, it says you brought it into the world, rather than saying this happens anyway, right? This is going to happen anyway. So what happens anyway, you don't get a reward for, but Hashem wants to give you, what he wants to give you, something better than you could have had you never come out of the world in the first place. And so too with every Jew. And so too with the Jewish people as a whole. And the truth is that was what he wanted for mankind as a whole, but mankind, what he called, opted out. So now they become a supporting cast. Right? Why is it saying we could do the Korban Tamid like it was done at Har Sinai? Korban Tamid? It was the Korban of Orbegin. No, because the Korban Tamid is, what do you call it, is the expression in the realm of Avoda of that which transpired at Har Sinai. Perish, what does that mean? Sha'az nitkan za seder, shiyuchlu b'nei Yisrael b'maseim lizkos, shiyasu pri lamala. At Har Sinai, the Jewish people, the world was transformed. Because until Har Sinai, the juggernaut called existence, called reality, yeah, called time and space and everything that transpires, right, on all those planes, right, is a given. That's the way it is. Hashem made it that way. From that point onward, from the time that Klal Yisrael makabel the Torah, now Klal Yisrael, as it were, their signature appears on everything that happens.
I thought it was the Luchos and the Ten Commandments at Sinai.
The Luchos, the Ten Commandments, were what Hashem gave us, but that was that act that transformed the Jewish people. The Jewish people now become the vehicle, right, of Hashem's, the ultimate desired vehicle of Hashem's Hashgacha making its appearance in the world. That was transpired at Sinai. We became, as it were, Hashem's partners in the world through the Torah, through Limud HaTorah, through Asiyas HaTorah. Through all the things that are related to the Torah, we now become his partners, right? So just like he was before, he was as it were, unilaterally giving existence to the world. Now that existence into the world, that existence is linked with the other partner called the Jewish people. So therefore, the act of avoda, right, of showing our relationship to Hashem, and as we stamp ourselves as his servants, and through that we become his partners. We become his partners in the world. That happened at Har Sinai. And therefore, when we talk about the Korban Tamid, we talk about the Korban Tamid like it was done in Sinai. What do you mean like it was done in Sinai? Doesn't talk about it being a Korban Tamid in Sinai, per se. There was an Olah brought, etc. Another thing, what transpired in Sinai is fulfilled in our constant avoda, or Korban Tamid, every day. They chose what we call, we will do Hashem's will, and through that we will experience, we will understand something that we wouldn't have understood if we didn't have Hashem's will. The rest of the world says, record, unfortunately, so many of our brothers and brethren as well, right? They can't figure out, well, I don't see the importance of this. I don't gain anything from this. I don't gain anything from that. Because they're still struggling with the idea of what you call it, they've got a limited scope of experience. And in that limited scope of experience, so what's the purpose of this? Right? I don't see the purpose. I don't taste the tam. I don't taste the taste or understand the reason. It doesn't make any sense to my seichel or to my heart. Why should I do it? And therefore they're constantly trying to make God over in the image of man. Such amoratsis.
No, you said it was that. I said it's the actualization of God's will. We're given the commandments. We're given the ruchos. We're given the commandments, and the actualization of this is doing the Korban.
Okay, right. But realize what you call it, but that transformed us.
That
transformed us.
So what about the miracles in there? That was
miracles is a separate issue. That's what he called it. The miracles is sometimes is indicative. It's indicative of the fact that we exist on a different plane. That was what. Well, that, because all of this process, Matan Torah, started really in Yetzias Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people are being taken to a different plane. Right? So what we saw in Yetzias Mitzrayim is that when you're living on a different plane, so then miracles are really. Miracles of that nature are really called are every day. Etc. Now Hashem's not going to do that all the time, because he doesn't want to destroy the fabric of free will. If you see miracles of the nature of Jesus Christ all the time, then it really limits a person's free will. But that part of the introductory course into being Mekabel Torah also shows that you're on the process of entering into a new plane. Once you're entering into a new plane, what do you call this super plane, as it were, right? A miracle in the sun rising, what do you call it? What do you call Samsuf? What do you call blood with, what do you call it? Water and blood, what do you call it? Turning to blood, turning to water, etc. Fire and ice all mixed together, what do you call it? This is just, you know, where you are when you're living on that plane. That's, you know, that's all good. That's just as much reality as the sun rising and the sun setting.
How come he wasn't made the first mitzvah? And say, okay, the first mitzvah that's so vital to us, you have to do the Korban.
If you don't believe in Oche Hashem Elokecha, it's not shy, you're going to just really quote, then there's no point in doing the Avoda. The first thing you got to know is that Hashem is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the beginning of everything. That's the beginning of everything. That's an application.
Okay.
I think we should have Shiluch HaKen in there also. All the mitzvahs really emanate from the Esseres of Dibros. They all come from there. Right? Obviously, what he called those 10 are the core from which everything else emanates.
What you're saying to me is a Bichidish.
It's not Bichidish. It's the most fundamental thing. Most fundamental thing.
It's so fundamental. I don't understand why it wasn't among the Ten Commandments.
Rabbanu Al-Makula, because it's an application of what he called of believing that Hashem is the source of everything, took us out of Egypt, and knowing that you mustn't ascribe any koach to any other force in the world. So therefore, what he called part of it is one of the Yugimel Ikrim, right? That you can only daven to Hashem. Korbanos is what he called is the strongest application of that. But we have the opportunity to do it. We don't have it now. All we can do is we can daven. Right. It's an application. Okay, fine. So all of this, right? All of this. This is what he called. All of this is that's the process of. Har Sinai, right? The process of Har Sinai is what transformed Klal Yisrael. Why we said the Rashi said that what do we learn from the juxtapositioning of the Korban Tamid, right? The Korban Tamid to the Ola that was brought at Har Sinai. So Rashi says to teach you that it needs a Kli. Zezfas Emes, he says the name of the Magen Mikoshnitz. Kli, a vessel, is Rashi Tevos, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. We are the Kli, right? In other words, the Kli, the representation.
How do you spell Kli? Kuf?
Kuf, Lamed Yud. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, says the Magen Mikoshnitz.
Kohanim,
Levim, Yisraelim. In other words, the idea is that the linkage between the Korban Tamid, right, and that which transpired at Har Sinai were the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people became the Kli of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world to reveal His presence by doing His Torah, by doing His Avoda, by acting in a fashion of Gemilas Chasodim. We became the Kli of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We became the Kli of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Agonos, right? Remember, we saw in the Agonos. That was the Kli, the round Kli, the vessels of which we take Kabbalah blood. So we recall the Pasuk, right? The Pasuk tells us in Shir HaShirim, right? Shoreich Agan Hasar. Right? In Perek Zion, in Shir HaShirim, it says, Kilu, your navel is Agan Hasar. Right? Agan Hasar. That it's a reference to the Sanhedrin, right, to the Sanhedrin, to the fact that the Jewish people, really, let's just leave that without getting, we'll get lost in the roundabout. So the Jewish people, right, just like the navel, as it were, is round, just like we call that, and that from there is where a person's existence began. That's where his existence began. And just like the agonos, the kli of receiving the blood of the bris, and the Magen Mikoshnitz says that we are the kli of the Jewish people. So therefore when it refers to us, when the nations of the world talk about us in Shir HaShirim, they talk about us, Shorech Agan Hasar, right? Our navel from which our life began.
Agan is navel?
Agan Hasar, no, Agan is what he calls like a round kli. Shorech is what he called is the reference to that. Yeah? Agan, the round kli, is like Agan Hasar, is like the round kli, like the moon. Just like the moon reflects Sar, in Lashon Seer, again, that's also Machlokes, what that means in Shir HaShirim. Agan Hasar is like the round moon. Like the round moon. That just as the sun's light is reflected through the round moon in a time, at nighttime, when the sun's light can't be seen, so too, recall, the Jewish people's very existence from where they begin, right? Their birth, etc., right? Is like the round moon. Is the round moon, which is the word reflects Hashem's presence in the world where Hashem can't be seen. Right? Hashem doesn't force His presence upon us. We don't see Hashem around us, right? We can't see Him, we don't see Him around us. But through the Jewish people, right? With their very being is Kagan Hasar, is like what he called, is like the round moon which reflects the sun's light in the midst of the darkness of the night, right? That's who we are. The Agonos. Right? That's the Jewish people.
Vessels.
Right? The rounded vessels. Just like the round navel.
Doesn't Agonos mean light or something?
What?
The Agonos means light. Isn't that like there's a wine?
Agonos, no, I think it was a round, what do you call it? It's a round vessel, Rashi says there in Mishpatim. So in any event, so let's just finish off here.
Like
there's no disagreement, right? There's no disagreement between Moshe and Hashem over here, right? The Korban Tamid points out the goal of Klal Yisrael in the world, right? To be a vehicle, a kli for the Shechina. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? His request was discussing the pragmatics of how we can implement that, Right? How are we going to make a Jewish people, as it were, that are, what do you call it, that will be a proper kli? Yeah.
So we're like the moon that reflects Hashem's light?
Right. Just like the moon reflects the light of the sun in the midst of darkness, Olam Hazeh is compared to, what do you call it, is compared to nighttime. Olam Haba is a world of light. Olam Hazeh is a world of darkness. Right? We are the moon. Right? Our being, our existence emanates from, emerges, right? Kaganasar, like the round, right? Like the round, what do you call it? The round, like the navel. So in any event, so we recall, so there was no machlokis between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem was, right, we call, no, in terms of what we start off in the beginning. Moshe, Hashem says, what do you call it? Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, appoint this type of person. Hashem says, before you tell me what type of person, appoint. Let me, what do you call it? Let's establish the relationship. Really, we're talking about two sides of the same coin.
The flesh.
Right? Ruach Bokhu Basar. Right, right. Elokei Ruchos Lechol Basar. Right? Hashem says, yeah, there's no disagreement. The Korban Tamid points out the goal of Klal Yisrael is to be a vehicle, right, a kli for the Shechina. Moshe Rabbeinu was discussing the pragmatics of implementation. That is to say, how Jewish leadership contributes to that goal. Right? It needs a person who can recognize everybody's value as an individual, and through that, to make them into a unit. That way they value themselves. They don't want to throw away being part of the unit. They don't see themselves as nameless, right? And shapeless, amorphous cinder blocks. It also gives the capacity of a person, once he realizes that that's what he has, that he is valued as an individual, he begins to appreciate everyone else as an individual as well, that forms the bonds between them. And then they're now their proper vehicle for that which Hashem wants for the Jewish people, to be a kli, right, for the Shechina in the world.